Welcome back, everybody. It's the SCB Steelers Podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And we are very proud to be part of the Variety Sports Network as well. And just a quick shout to my family in the Fort Lauderdale area down there who they're underwater. I don't know if you've seen this on the news, but they got about 27 inches of rain in less than a day. And I've got one niece that's completely flooded out of her house. And thankfully, others are okay. And everybody's okay. But it's just unbelievable. And yeah, don't know what to say about that kind of rain. But hopefully, everybody's good there. Also, real quick, wanted to say congratulations to Mr. Ryan Scarpino and Jess on the birth of their very first child. They had a boy, I believe, Friday night. Was it Friday night?
Saturday morning.
It was Saturday morning.
Like 4:30 in the morning on Saturday.
Yeah, okay. And Jonas Scarpino has entered the world. And according to Ryan, he's doing great.
I never knew before this week that Ryan was a Jonas Brothers fan.
Well, I did not either.
I had no idea. And we come to find that he's a huge fan. That's why he named his son that.
And
kind of like, you know, Steel Dad named his son Bradshaw for the same reason, because he's a huge Steelers fan. And
absolutely.
Ryan is apparently a gigantic Jonas Brothers fan.
Yes.
Had no idea.
They apparently went back and forth between Nick and Joe and just settled on Jonas. Yeah. So, you know, that's wonderful. Everybody's doing very, very well. And, believe it or not, we actually do have, Casey Kasem tonight. I cannot believe
a way to make it work.
I think I can make it work. If I can't, then it's my fault. But, I have received about a 2 minute long voice message, and, I have not listened to it. I'm telling you that right now.
I have.
Oh, you did.
Oh, yeah. You cheated. I did not listen.
I listened to the first I listened to the intro just to check the voice quality. It sounded good. And so congratulations to Jen. She's got a grandson coming. Oh man, outstanding. And you know, yeah, welcome in everybody. And anyway, so hopefully Scarps will be with us over the next couple of weeks. It's just all gonna be how much sleep he's getting and all those things. But again, congratulations to them. And also, we have another Ian that has come aboard the SCB crew. I think he'll be just known as Ian 2. I don't really have he doesn't have a nickname. But,
Ian Jr.?
Ian Jr.? Yeah.
What's his last name?
McQuinton?
So they're both fucking E and M.
E and M C.
Yeah, Ian Mix. Yeah.
Yeah, Ian. That's it. Mix. Mick one. Yeah. Mick two. Anyway,
Scotch Irish folks got to stick together. That,
clearly, he's going to be
sure he's Catholic and has like 10 kids too.
We haven't gotten to know him that well yet, but maybe I don't know. Anyway, again, thanks everybody for being here, whether you're on the live show or you're listening or watching later on. Great to have you. Tonight, the plan is very simple. We'll touch on a couple of the latest things going on with the Steelers. They did add another free agent this week. And then we'll dive into the draft. And we're going to focus pretty specifically on the offense tonight. You know us, we tend to ramble and we tend to skip around, so we could touch a little.
We don't ramble,
tonight, but,
please.
Well,
that never happens.
Aaron says he almost named his child Stone Cold.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds very much about right. Yeah. That's terrific. Anyway, welcome in, guys. Let's clear up one very, very important detail. What are you drinking this evening? Ian, what do you got?
I've got, since I mentioned, you know, my Scotch Irishness, I've got a little bit of my Tullamore Dew left, so I'm finishing that off probably.
And by the way,
Irish water.
Let's give it up.
Cheers to Scarps.
That Christmas ale that lasted until April in your kegerator.
Yeah, my keg finally kicked yesterday.
Truly a moment of reflection right there. And Ben, what are you imbibing this evening?
Well, let me see. I've got some Don Julio 70, and I've got some Calumet Farms 10-year, and I've got some Yellowstone 93.
Is that from Kevin Costner?
His
stash or
tasty stuff. It's something I got for a gift.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's really good. So I haven't decided on that yet. And then I'm drinking, it's 10 barrel.
Do you podcast from your home bar?
Yeah.
I get the feeling.
I have it all just laid out here, so I'm prepped, right?
It's like he's got the entire Cheers Oak Bar in front of him. Yeah. You know, from what he's got, his Cliff's way down at one end, Norm's down at the other.
This is Nature Calls, which is they market as a mountain IPA. I'd say it's less bitter than most IPAs. It to me, it goes down more like a hazy, but they call it an IPA. So
very
whatever.
Good. Very good. Yeah. I have, my Woodford Reserve is gone.
Oh no.
My Bradshaw is gone. So I am on the very last of my Jameson IPA, and I love it. It's really, really tasty. And,
yeah.
I also have some of my Bell's Hazy Hearted IPA here as well. So what is Burner getting at here?
On a very AA.
He's in Central Time. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Seriously. That's good. Seriously, if you guys want like a really nice, reasonably priced bourbon, go out and get some Buffalo.
The Buffalo Trace?
Buffalo Trace.
Yeah. I got to try it.
It's a really, really nice bourbon, and usually it's about $30. Oh, it's a sipper. Geez. It's a sipper for $30. Sipper. Good shit.
Bill is reminding me that I passed by the Terry Bradshaw Bourbon Distillery on my travels to Nashville two weeks ago.
Didn't stop and ask them to sponsor our podcast?
I you know what? I am so mad at myself. And Bill reminded me of this, and I was kicking myself because on my way down, I had no time restraints. I just took my time.
I think that would be a conversation with Terry. I don't think you go by the distillery and ask them. They'd be like, well, whatever.
Well, who are you? I just wanted to go to the distillery.
Yeah.
I mean, and get some photos, things like that. And
we need to have Rick arrange an introduction. I'm being serious here when I say
I know
you have Rick arrange an introduction.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like a 5-minute phone call and we ask him, I'm being completely 100% serious.
I know.
Even if he just buys the bourbon that we drink on the show.
Oh,
that would be a pretty nice sponsorship as far as I'm concerned. I don't know about you guys.
It'd be fantastic. I would be over the moon. Let's just put it that way. And that's hard for me to get over.
Brought to you by Bradshaw Bourbon.
Gonna have Terry on to do some cuckoo. All right. Hey, the Steelers did sign another defensive tackle this week, Armin Watts. So we've retained the services of Larry Ogunjobi. We brought in Braden Faoko. And now you've got Watts. What's going on here, Ian?
They're assembling as many depth pieces as they can leading into the draft of positions that they knew they needed to fill. They've done it on the interior of the offensive line and the interior of the defensive line. And, you know, they haven't, other than Seumalo on the offensive line, they haven't signed anyone that's a star.
That dude's a stud.
He is a stud, yes. Yeah. But they signed some depth pieces that I would say are at least as good, if not maybe better than the pieces they had. I mean, you know, Chris Wormley wasn't much in run defense. He could get off the ball quick and get upfield and get after the passer, but run defense left a lot to be desired.
Just like Watts. That's Watts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
same. One for one.
Yeah. But nevertheless, I think, you know, they signed Fehoko.
Mm-hmm.
Fehoko, however you say it.
Fehoko, yeah.
You got Fehoko. Yeah. You know, and he's more of a true nose tackle than anything else.
Yeah, he's kind of he is what what's his name was? Why am I
not Tyson Alualu?
Alualu. He is what Alualu was.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's not what Alualu was at the beginning of his career. I'm not trying to say that because Alualu was a very good player at the beginning of his career.
Yeah. Top 10 pick at the beginning of his career. Yeah,
but he is what Alualu was kind of when he came to the Steelers at, you know, initially, just a big, strong guy who's really good at the point of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to move him very easily. So in those short yardage situations, he'll help.
Yeah, and that's what they need because you can't put Montrevious Adams in there in a third and one and expect him to clog up the middle.
Yeah,
absolutely true. Yeah.
So they've added some nice depth pieces at you know, reasonable prices, and it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's not flashy, it's not sexy, but it's, you know,
it's what they do.
They're improving the depth of their team, and that's how I always try and look at free agency is I'm like, you know, sometimes you can go out and get a starter like they did with Seumalo on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just like, okay, you know, is this guy they signed better than Isaiah Loudermilk? Yes. Is this guy they signed better than Chris Wormley? Yes. You know, so it's like, okay, they're improving the back end of their roster.
I don't know if Watts is better than Chris Wormley. I think it's a one for one deal. I don't think that Wormley is going to be healthy.
No, he's gone.
And I think if he were, they probably would have brought him back. He's basically the same guy. Watts is not a dominant defensive tackle. He is he's a good pass rusher. He's good in those situations. Mm-hmm. He's good at pressuring the quarterback from the inside. But he's not a guy you want at the point of attack in a short yardage situation. Which is pretty much what Chris Wormley was, you know, before he tore his ACL or whatever the hell he did last year. I think it was his ACL.
It was ACL.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And so to me, it's a one for one deal. It doesn't really improve your team. Doesn't really hurt anything. You know, I think that.
Well, the other thing you have to look at too is, you know, one thing I like about what they've done so far this whole offseason is they've built from the inside out. You know, mm-hmm. for years it felt like they were trying to build from the outside in.
Weidel's fingerprints are all over this, I think.
Yeah, with you know, skill position players and things like that, which is fine. You need those guys. But, you could really tell the last couple years the two lines – and, you know, offensive line, defensive line, even I'd extend that to inside linebacker, had really been neglected for a while. Mm-hmm. And those are the three areas where they've signed the most guys, interior offensive linemen, interior defensive linemen, and inside linebackers, that they're really trying to build this team from the inside out. And if you're watching live on video, you just saw Ben lip-sync telling his dog to shut the fuck up. So that was a nice way to finish my point there.
Two things real quick. Big Ben's burner asked about going after a guard and, you know,
no.
Herbert. Well, hold on. We'll talk about that when we get to the draft talk, which is going to be coming up here shortly. The other thing real quick, and you guys know this better than I do. You're both cap people. Alualu, we have to assume he's retiring. So therefore, is it a cap situation that he hasn't announced that yet? Are they waiting?
His contract was up. It was
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So I maybe he's hoping to play somewhere. I don't know.
Doubt it. I mean, sometimes guys don't retire. Their contract's up and they just kind of
They drift off. Yeah. So
I think Ike Taylor kind of did that, didn't he? That his contract was up and he just kind of
That's true, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, okay. All right, so that's the latest on that, and let's dive into the draft. What we're planning to do tonight, like I said, we're going to do offense, and we're going to hit all the positions. And granted, we know that some of you aren't as interested in some positions as others, strictly because the Steelers just aren't looking at some of those. Running back, for example, we won't spend a ton of time there. They just haven't really looked at many running backs, and they have a one and a two pretty much in place anyway. So, and then we'll spend a lot of time in other areas. But obviously, every draft is focused on quarterbacks, and this one is absolutely no different. I would just ask you straight up, Ben, if you're sitting there at number one, the Carolina Panthers, who's your quarterback? Who are you taking?
I'm taking Young over Stroud.
Yeah.
That's me. A lot of people prefer Stroud over Young. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. Honestly, I think you're splitting hairs when you compare those guys. So it's just a personal preference thing. I think mm-hmm. they're both really good perspective, you know, players. And then, you know, after that, I think there's a big drop to Anthony Richardson and an even bigger drop to Will Levis,
mm-hmm.
all of which will be, I believe, first round quarterbacks. And then potentially even, is it Herndon or Hendon Hooker? Hendon Hooker. I think he may be a first rounder too, kind of depending on the way things go. The way the draft falls, you know what I mean? Depending if somebody at the end of the first decides they really need to have a quarterback and he's not going to be there when they pick again, they may just pull the trigger. Quarterbacks always get overdrafted, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
As long as the Steelers don't take Stetson Bennett.
Oh, for God's
sake. Who I see as, you know, kind of a geriatric Mason Rudolph. As long as they don't do that, you know, I'm fine with it. Whatever. They've looked at a few guys, and they may take one. They need another quarterback. There's no question.
Yep.
It isn't just about the fact that they need a third quarterback this year. They don't have Mitch Trubisky signed beyond this season, and he apparently does not want to sign an extension. So
no.
It is kind of is what it is right now. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I too am, push comes to shove. I'm taking Young. I just think this is a guy that I want the ball in his hand when I need points. And again, Stroud, tremendous player. What a performance. He actually played obviously great against Georgia in the semifinal loss, but he was very good for the most part against Michigan, despite them losing. Top talent. But for me, it's Young and then Stroud. And then, there's a drop off there. Ian.
Yeah. I've pretty much been the same way. I think, you know, having seen a lot of Alabama games, just cause they're always on TV that, you know, Alabama didn't lose their two games this year because of anything Bryce Young did that, you know, they lost them because of their defense. And you know, Bryce Young even brought them back in a couple games that, you know, he made a bunch of clutch throws and, despite his size, I think he's got it up here between the ears where it counts, and has the ability to, you know, make big plays at big times. And mm-hmm. I think he's got that big game ability, maybe a little more than Stroud does. I think there were a couple points in some big games that I wasn't super impressed with Stroud. Obviously the game against Georgia, they had a fantastic outing. He played really well,
right?
But you know, a couple regular season games I was kind of like, Stroud's good also, and but I think Richardson will go third. I'm not a Will Levis fan. I don't like Will Levis at all. I saw someone either compare Will Levis to Carson Wentz this week, and I was kind of like, that's a really good comparison.
It might not be too bad.
Yeah, but no, I would not touch Levis. The Steelers did look at they brought in both the quarterback from BYU, Jaren Hall, as well as Clayton Toon from Houston. Yeah. Both of those guys are kind of projected in the sort of like third, fourth-ish round range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fourth, fifth.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. I guess third to fifth, maybe. And I think it depends, right? Like Ben said, if five quarterbacks go in the first round,
right,
and there's some other desperate teams, those guys might bump up the board a little bit. If only
quarterbacks always get overdrafted, man. Always.
They do. There's no
except
denying
last year, but you know.
Well,
no. I don't know.
Was Toon the kid from Houston? Was he the one that was like off the charts on the Raz? He was like 9 point something, wasn't he?
I don't remember. It might have been Hall from BYU, but either both of them. I don't know. Clayton Toon had a really good college career. And I like his upside a lot. And to your point about needing a quarterback, you're right. They need a number three now and a number two of the future. So, the previous philosophy under Kevin Colbert was always that they really liked having a veteran backup quarterback, even, you know, with their veteran starter until the year they drafted Landry Jones. We're like, oh, no, we're, just go with this guy as our backup. But nevertheless, you know, maybe philosophies change a little bit now with Weidel and with, Omar Khan in charge, that if they're like, hey, you know, we want two young guys that are going to kind of be able to play together. I don't know. But I like a lot of what both of these guys potentially could bring, both Hall and Toon. So if they take one of them, I won't be terribly upset. I might dislike it a little bit and just be like, was that really the biggest position of need? But I guess we also have to kind of remember they don't have a pick between their fourth round and seventh round pick. They don't have a fifth or sixth round pick, which would typically be where you could, you know, grab one of these depth quarterbacks. So
Ian, if I had to put you on the spot right now and said, will they draft a quarterback, what's your confidence level, you know, one through 10 that they would draft a quarterback?
Maybe like a six, like it's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. If the quarterback is the best player available, they do have a need there. And, Clayton Toon was a 3-year team captain at Houston. It was, got rave reviews for his leadership stuff. I think it's possible. I don't know if it's guaranteed like it was last year, but I think it's possible.
Ben, where do you think they draft one?
I think it's a little more likely than a six, but I wouldn't say it's a definite.
A month ago, I wasn't on board with this, and I'm still struggling with it, but I understand it. I get, especially with no fifth and sixth round pick. I can see why they would in the fourth.
There are a number of these situations every year in the draft where it's like, I don't really love the fact that they're going to do this, but they're going to do this.
And
you know why, and you understand it. You just don't like it.
Right. No, bingo.
So yeah, this year's going to be no different, and they're still going to have holes after the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that think this team doesn't have holes are not looking very far.
No,
they're seeing these signings and deciding these guys are great players. And I'll be frank with you. Most of them are just guys. Like, Herbig is a personality. That guy's a depth player. He's probably going to push both Kevin Dotson and certainly Kendrick Green off the roster.
Yeah.
And if he can play center, he may push somebody else off. Hassenauer is still out there.
Where did he visit? I know he visited the Giants.
He visited the Giants.
Yeah.
But I think he's still sitting out there.
I think he is.
That's a guy who potentially could be back after the draft, depending on what they get. But they looked at an awful lot of guys that were center capable.
Yeah. No, they did.
And that's what I think they're looking for, that and tackles. I don't see them taking a guard at this point. Okay. You've got three guys, really. You've got James Daniels. You've got Seumalo. And you've got Herbig. And I'm really surprised that they're giving up on Kevin Dotson. And maybe they're not. Maybe they're saying, hey, we're going to bring in a quality guy and you're going to compete and we're going to see what happens. But sure seems like it, man.
I'm with you.
One other note, actually, on Jaren Hall, and this is something worth mentioning with anyone who comes from BYU, because they have to serve that religious mission for two years. Yeah. So he's 25 years old. He's older than Kenny Pickett is.
Yeah.
And I know we joke about how old Kenny Pickett was.
Shit.
But he's like 3 months older than Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
So
that's when you draft BYU players, that's what comes with it.
And sometimes you get a Chris Hoke who's got that grown man strength, and you know,
that's right,
is a solid player. And
Brett Kiesel, yeah,
yeah.
Real quick, running backs. I think we all love Bijan Robinson. I think he's gonna have a really nice career.
South Point Catholic High School,
sure, wherever that is.
Where I went to school, and so did he.
Oh, I see. So when he was like in the weight room working out for his football season, did he see pictures of Ben Anderson up in the weight room?
I don't believe he did. No.
Okay. All right. I was just curious. Yeah, I think he's head and shoulders above everybody. I mean, then you've got Gibbs from Alabama. You get Charbonneau out there at UCLA. I mean, I don't think anybody's in his class. And I don't think the Steelers are very interested in a running back right now. They've got their one, they've got their two, and Benny Snell is currently unemployed.
I think there's a possibility they'll take one. I just don't, you know, I don't know how great that possibility is, if you will.
Right.
I think if they take one, it'll be a later round guy that they're
kind of
taking a flyer on.
Sixth or seventh type.
More likely, it'll be a guy that they sign after the draft.
Yeah. And thank you to Aaron. He put up the Raz there. Tune was 9.81. I knew he was up there. And then they said the kid from Fresno apparently was pretty high on the
S2 test. Yeah.
Yeah. Ian, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say one broad point I want to make, and I think is my biggest takeaway for the draft, other than offensive linemen, which we've been saying on the show they needed for 3 years, and they still need. But at the skill positions, whether it be running back, receiver, whatever, they need guys who can make big plays. They don't have guys right now, you know, who can break off a 40-yard, you know, play.
Pickens.
Maybe.
He's their most talented wide receiver.
He is. I think
he's raw, capable of a lot more.
He expands the run.
Yeah, he doesn't run great routes yet.
Right.
Yeah. He runs a solid 7 and a solid 9, but that's about it.
And if Deontay Johnson could catch a slant route, maybe he could actually turn it up the field and go somewhere if he didn't run backwards with it. But, you know, there's that too. But, like, Najee isn't going to, you know, break off a 60-yard touchdown run. Jaylen Warren showed some flashes of some 20, 30-yard runs, but not like, you know, we need like a home run hitter on this offense. We need a guy who is like capable of taking it to the house anytime he touches the ball. And so if they take a running back, you know, like Mark said, he's right. The top two are set with Najee and Jaylen Warren. So, and that's a good thing to have mm-hmm. two solid running backs that can play in any down and distance situation. They can both block adequately. Warren, I think, is a better blocker than Najee, but nevertheless, you know, they can both do what you want to do. So really, if you're looking for a third kind of specialty back, like a guy who's a good receiver and has good speed would be the type of player I would look for.
Yeah. You know, Berner points out McFarland. He had a couple of flashes last year, but I don't know. I just don't know what to make of him. I mean, clearly this is it for him.
I've always seen Anthony McFarland as a scat back. He's a guy who tends to go down on first contact an awful lot.
Right.
Never really been that big a fan, even when he was drafted. You know, I was like, I don't know. You know, maybe if they can get him into space, he can do something. But it's Matt Canada. He can't get anybody into space effectively. The guy is just fucking awful. Seriously, it's just, why did they retain him?
That's gonna be a big question for the next several months.
I just like Scarps. Scarpino and I are both like, okay, we're going to take it easier on Canada and not fucking pile on because everybody hates this guy and it just creates this air of negativity, not just around us and the podcast and the site, but, you know, the air of negativity about the season. It's just, it's a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that shit. But God damn, I mean, seriously, you think to yourself, okay, this player could be successful if he just did this, but Matt Canada can't fucking do it. So, like, you talked about DJ before running backward with the ball. He runs backward with the ball because it's a fucking curl route or a comeback. And that's what he was asked to run.
Right.
And there are two guys bracketing him because they know he's going to run a curl or a fucking comeback. And they're just like, we're just going to let you catch it. We'll make sure you don't get any yards after the fact. And he gets nothing. Oh, fuck.
Canada.
It's one more thing. It's one more easy way to neutralize our receiver. So the defense is just like, well, this is low-hanging fruit. I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, Canada is like the cloud that follows around Pigpen.
God, he just fucking...
I mean, that's what I feel like when I start talking about the Steelers season. Oh, Canada. You know, he's coming back to that. All right, tight ends. We like our tight ends. I wish people would stop putting Connor Hayward in that category because I just don't see him as a tight end.
He's an H-back.
I mean, he can play in the slot, but he's not an inline blocking threat at all. And you know, Freiermuth had the concussion issues, and so therefore, is it possible they look at a tight end if one's sitting there? I can't rule it out.
I think they're absolutely going to take Darnell Washington and move him to left tackle.
I know that's been your dream now for about a month.
That's not going to happen. God damn, it would be awesome if they did, though.
He is an athletic beast.
He's way too light right now to play left tackle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah. I think that's what's going to happen. He's 6'6 and a half. He's already a good blocker. He's got the frame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To me, he's going to follow that Larry Brown career trajectory where he starts out as a tight end for a couple of years, and then somebody's like, God damn, this kid can block. Well, fuck it. Let's just make him a tackle. We'll tell him to put on 30 pounds over the summer. And
I know there's other people talking about it. I've heard it. So you're not alone in that.
I'm just saying. I mean, especially, have you seen him hit the fucking sled as a run blocker?
It's unbelievable. Especially after you watch the other tight ends.
You watch the other tight ends hit the sled. Then you watch him and you're just like.
It's a man amongst boys.
What the fuck? Whoever gets that guy, I really hope. Because I don't think the Steelers are going to get him. I really hope it's not a team in the AFC North. Because he will just. They'll fucking punish us for years with that guy.
Yeah.
They'll just,
I can see it.
Bash down on our edge players, push them back in and do sweeps on that side. God damn. He's a good,
the tight end class is incredibly deep.
It is.
You're
going to be shocked by this. So hold on to your seats, but I actually like the kid from Michigan, Shoemaker. I know it's a lot for me to say, like a player from Michigan.
Aaron just passed out.
I know, but I think he's a well-rounded player. He can really do a lot of things. He is old, but I mean, I don't know, whatever. He's not as old as the quarterback from BYU.
Right.
He's like Kenny Pickett old when he came out. That kind of old.
Yeah. But like, he'll
be in his 30s if he gets a second contract.
For a number two tight end, I mean
we already have a number two tight end, though. I mean,
on a 1 year contract, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But our number one tight end has had concussion issues. So you kind of need a guy. Like, Zach Gentry is a fine number two, but I don't think he can step in and be a number one.
No.
So
you can get away with it for a game, but no more than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Shoemaker from Michigan, I think. Has that well-rounded, you know, he can block a little. He's a decent enough receiver. Almost like a, maybe like a Jeremy Tooman type.
He's more athletic than Tooman.
Can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Jeremy was nice, especially for that era. Schoonmaker's definitely a little more athletic.
Tuman was not a good blocker when he came in and when he started, and he became a good blocker over the course of his career, and that was kind of where his value developed because he was never a big receiver. He started a handful of games for the Steelers and you know, did okay as a possession receiver.
Right.
But he was never like a threat. I mean, you know, Heath would catch the ball and fucking run over safeties and corners, and God damn, that was fun to watch. Watch some linebacker catch him from behind.
Try to anyway.
He'd
catch him. He just couldn't bring him down.
Sometimes it depended on who it was. You know, it had to be like a guy who was big enough to bring Heath down. That was the point. You know,
that guy was a damn quarterback in high school.
Yeah,
and he had that innate ability to always know where the sticks were and get past them
and just get past the. That was his thing. Yeah. Just get past the sticks. Isaac Redman was like that too. I mean, as a running back goes, that guy really did have some value on third downs. He could block. He could catch the ball a little. But more importantly, when he got the ball in space, his first priority was not try to make the big play. Just get past the sticks. You know what I mean? We need more guys like that. Selfless fucking players that are just like, we just need to keep this drive alive. Keep the drive alive. Keep the drive alive.
Hi, Melvin.
Oh, Melvin's here.
What's up, Melvin?
Okay, welcome in, and I got you guys on the big screen. Holy shit, that's got to be scary. Hi, Felicia. How are you tonight?
What's scary?
Hopefully Felicia's Saints will get out of salary cap hell one of these days.
What?
Felicia's a big Saints fan. Yep. Black, two different types
Where
of black
are you
and
seeing
gold.
This? I'm watching this, and I'm like, what are you, what?
Mark
what?
Knows Melvin more than you do.
Yeah. Oh, you're reading Melvin's comments?
Yes.
Oh, well, fuck.
Like right there. Yeah, Jesus. He's got us on the big screen. My God, that's got to be terrifying.
It is fucking terrifying.
Hopefully Melvin's son is asleep already, because otherwise he's going to have nightmares.
We have faces
Melvin,
for
what are
radio
you drinking?
And do a YouTube show.
Melvin, what are you drinking, sir?
Yeah, we need to know what Melvin's drinking for sure. Let's move to the tackles. Let's get into
tackles before wide receivers. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to do tackles and centers and guards, and then we'll finish with wide receivers. But
all right.
Tackles.
Aaron thinks Master T can make the team if he stays healthy. Aaron, I
like
you're on crack.
That dude ran angry in the preseason, though. I like the way that dude ran.
He did.
He's a two down back who can't pass block. That's the problem.
And his name is Master.
He's got a great name.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic name. But he's a two-down back who can't block. If you can't pick up the blitz, you can't be a depth player.
Right. No, it's true. It's true.
Just Gentleman Jack. That's just actually pretty good whiskey. It's not It's not great. I don't like Jack Daniels personally. But, I mean, you know, Gentleman Jack's not bad.
Okay.
That's all solid. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and the MAGA people hate it now. Why do they hate it again?
I'm not getting into politics on this program.
I'm like, what happened? Why?
Yeah,
okay. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah,
moving on.
Tackles. Okay. So the name that I saw a lot today that appears to be creeping up slightly into the late first round, early second round. And is associated with the Steelers a little bit is Anton Harrison, the tackle from Oklahoma. And of course that suggests that they would not go tackle at 17 simply because of the fact that those guys are going to be gone. You know, now I don't think DeJuan Jones is going to be gone at seven by the time they get 17, but I think 17 is too high for him.
Oh yeah. By far.
32 though.
Right. And so I guess where the conversation,
I'll be honest, I like Darnell Wright better anyway than DeJuan Jones.
Yeah, I do as well. I do as well.
And a lot of people don't. And okay, that's cool. I get it.
I'm telling you, watch Wright's tape against Will Anderson and against the kid from LSU.
Yeah.
He does a damn nice job.
He does.
And, you know, and again, I understand it's college football, pros different,
right.
But you know, you can only see what you're showing, right?
Right.
So I get what you're saying with him.
I mean, fantasy situation, Broderick Jones. Like,
yes, right.
If the draft falls just right,
yeah,
we get him. And hopefully somebody doesn't like trade up in front of us because Broderick Jones is still available. Oh my God.
Well, you know, if you look at that top 16 ahead of us, you know, there's obviously teams with QB needs. There's teams with cornerback needs, but there's also, unfortunately, some teams with tackle needs as well.
Or just offensive line in general.
Right. And, you know, what do you guys, Ian, what's your take on Skronsky? Have you seen enough of him to be able to say
first offensive lineman off the board?
Yeah. I think he probably will be.
Yep.
But
top 10 pick.
But is he a guard or is he a tackle? I mean, I've heard people say he's an instant plug-and-play guard and probably an all-pro.
Exactly.
That's how good they think he's going to be.
He's a guy who can play tackle for you if you want, or he is an all-pro every year at guard.
Yeah.
What's the downside there?
I think Skoronsky's the best offensive lineman in the draft. And, you know, there was some talk this week that some other YouTube show said, oh, the Steelers and Bears have talked about trading up, and I don't know how legitimate that was, but you know,
but
if the Steelers would trade up to 9,
I just want to put this out there so that everybody understands it. We have some context.
Yeah.
If Omar Khan is not talking to every single team in the league, all 31 of them,
right,
about what they might want for a trade in this kind of a scenario ahead of the draft, he's not doing his fucking job.
Correct. Right.
So this means nothing.
Correct. That said, if the Steelers were going to make a big move up into the top 10, two of the three guys I would move up for are offensive linemen.
And those would be?
Skoronsky, Paris Johnson, and Christian Gonzalez.
Okay.
If it was me, I'm saying if it was me, right?
Yeah,
if Skoronsky falls to 9 and the Steelers have like a potential deal with the Bears where they're kind of like, you know, because before, like Ben said, right, before the draft, you call every team, you say, hey, you know, in this position, what would you want for us to move up or for what would you be looking for? Or for even the teams behind us, you know, if you want to trade up, we might be willing to move back a few spots. Like, you have those conversations, so you kind of know. This stuff doesn't get figured out in 10 minutes while a team's on the clock. They have a lot of these frameworks in place.
So Ben's burner doesn't want us to move up to 9. He wants us.
I
get it. But by the same token, I'll just tell you, all of you who are listening, if you have an opportunity to take a high impact player, okay, an Aaron Donald, who's the guy who played left tackle for the Ravens for a decade, and
Jonathan Ogden.
Yeah. You got an opportunity to play to take a lineman in the top 10. It's worth it. To trade up, it's worth it to say, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 17 and 49 for number 9, and I'll take this guy and I'll plug him in and he'll be a Pro Bowler every year for a decade.
I agree with you. The problem is that the Bears are one of those teams that Skronsky would be perfect for.
I agree, and I don't think the trade will happen,
right?
Because when I look at Skronsky, I see Zach Martin.
Who came out of
Notre Dame, and he could play tackle pretty well, but people looked at him and they went, Jesus, this guy could be an all pro guard for he's Alan Faneca. Okay. Alan Faneca.
Yeah.
Alan Faneca was an 8-time first team all pro. Yeah. One time he was a second team all pro. 9 all pro teams over the course of his career. That's a goddamn good first round pick.
Yeah.
Okay. If you can get a guy like that, and he's going to be even better at guard, his impact is going to be even higher.
Mm-hmm.
You put him at guard. You don't think about it. You just do it.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, if Skoronsky fits better in a scheme at guard, what's the downside? I don't see one. if me.
So look, here's the other thing I'll throw out there. That Pat Meyer, offensive line coach,
yep,
attended a handful of pro days this year. Yep. He was at Alabama. He was at NC State. He was at Northwestern. Yep. He was at Ohio State and at Tennessee. So
burner.
Yes, they brought in yes, they brought in Anton Harrison from
Oklahoma
for a pre-draft visit, but Meyer didn't go to his pro day, and probably more importantly, Tomlin didn't go to his pro day. And as we know, every first round pick they've made since 2010, Tomlin has been at his pro day. So, you know, to me,
but Tomlin was at Colbert.
Well, right. But okay. Right. But right. Omar went to pretty much everyone with Tomlin this year, except for, yeah. So, but they were both at Georgia. So, you know, if I had to, let's say both Broderick Jones and Anton Harrison are there, I think you got to give the historical edge to Broderick Jones just based on, you know, they were at his pro day.
Right.
I
would agree.
Yeah. That
and that and there's a great need there. I mean, yeah.
But if it's Harrison against Darnell Wright, Pat Meyer went to Wright's pro day. They brought Harrison in for a visit. You know, I think Wright is better than Harrison, but I don't think Harrison's all that bad. Like I would put Wright in probably the top 20, maybe top 17 players in this draft, like a little below top 15, really? But better than top 20. Yeah.
I think Darnell Wright might be there at 32.
I don't think he'll be there at 32.
You don't?
No.
It's going to be tight. I think it depends on what happens.
I don't see him as a top 20 player.
I think he's in the top 20, but in that 15 to 20 range. I think Harrison's probably in that 25 to 30 range for me. Mm-hmm.
Harrison
could
will
be there
at 32.
Yeah.
Do you see a scenario where the Steelers kind of wait on offensive line, maybe wait until 49, wait until 80? I mean, because at that point.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me, honestly.
No, it wouldn't mean
it wouldn't shock me if they took an edge at 17.
Yeah, no, it would not shock me either.
And we'll get to the D guys next week.
Would not shock me at all if they took an edge at 17. And then, you know, in the second with 32, it wouldn't shock me if they traded back at 32.
Right.
But there's some guy that some team really covets, really wants, and is willing to overpay for the pick.
Yep.
And the Steelers say, well, okay, you know, how far back do we have to go? So in the second round, it wouldn't shock me if they traded out of 32 and took a wide receiver. They take fucking wide receivers in the second round every year that should have first round grades.
It all depends on how the draft board falls, right? Like if Nolan Smith is there at 17, then it's like, well, we're gonna go get this guy because this guy's a fucking baller, right? It's
I don't see that happening, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, so a lot of it depends on.
On how it falls, right?
Yeah,
because so many things, like we've talked about this shit all week.
Yeah,
so many things can happen. Like, is there a run at a certain position? Mm-hmm. Now it creates a perception that, oh my god, there's not going to be a wide receiver next round. We were thinking about taking a wide receiver in the second round, so now we got to take one in the first.
That happened last year. There was that run on receiver,
right?
Yeah,
receivers, quarterbacks, corners,
yeah,
any of those edge rushers. Offensive tackles, any of those premier passing game players, if there's a run on them, all of a sudden teams panic and the draft falls a different way. Excuse me.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know,
we've talked about before, they've done a good enough job in free agency that there's not any one position they have to add during this draft, that they can go out and take best players available and just add good players up.
I'm going to disagree with you there. I think there's a gaping fucking hole in the middle of the defense still where it comes to coverage. I do not think this is a good coverage team, especially in the middle of the defense. They have guys at the back end in KZ and in Minka who are good tacklers who can come in and clean up a mess. That's after a pretty good gain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still kind of a designed to be a bend but don't break defense, as opposed to a solid, very difficult to gain yards on kind of a D, like we were accustomed to in the middle 2000s, for example. You know, you just was just really, really hard to get yards against the Steelers. You couldn't run on them, and they gave up a passer rating in the 70s. It was fucking ridiculous.
It's like baseball, tough up the middle.
Yeah. Yep. I think between the linebackers and our strong safety right now, things are not great in the passing game.
Okay.
So I think there's definitely a need to upgrade there. That's me. You know, aside from that, there aren't any really glaring holes. Yes, there are. There's a glaring fucking hole at left tackle. Sorry, Dan Moore. Love you, but no, you're just not the guy.
I agree.
Burner, man. Burner. They got worse in coverage after letting Edmonds go, and he was Stevie Wonder. He was not, dude. He knew where to be and what to do. He just wasn't physically capable. He couldn't turn that quickly and maintain speed. He just wasn't that guy.
By the way, to Melvin's question earlier, if we were going to be live during the draft, that is our plan, yes, to be live. Yeah. Probably not for the whole draft.
We're still not sure what time we're going to come on during the first round.
Yeah.
What happens if they trade up?
Well, that's what I'm terrified.
We get on immediately is what happens.
I could be sitting in my fucking office doing the podcast going, God damn it, it's 2 o'clock. Shit.
Yeah. I don't want to be left.
What time does the draft start on Thursday?
Is it 7:30?
No, it's like 8:30, I think.
Oh God! Well, it's Kansas City, so it's only
Kansas
an hour.
Kansas City,
8 o'clock. It starts at 8 o'clock. So okay, if they trade up, we get on immediately. If not, then we'll probably get on around pick like 10 to 12 somewhere.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. Any chance this team goes center early in this draft?
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance if you know it depends on what's available. They've scouted some of the centers and the interior guys. Mm-hmm. They had John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota in for a visit. You know, I just mentioned that Pat Meyer was at Ohio State's pro day. Luke Whippler is probably a mid-round pick kind of guy. They had somebody else in, I think, who was a center. I mean, they've looked at Osiris Torrance from Florida, but he's more of a guard. They looked at Steve Avila from TCU, who's also probably more of a guard.
More of a guard.
Which is weird to me because
Steve Avila is center capable.
He is. He's played it.
They've signed multiple guards in free agency, and they're still scouting them in the draft. So,
well, again, they're looking at guys that are center capable, and even James Daniels is center capable.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem is the guys that there's one guy in this class that really is a higher end center prospect, and that is it. And beyond that, most of the guys they've got are just guys to choose from, right? Mm-hmm. So they're looking at guards that actually are center capable, which, you know, looking here just a second.
Melvin just texted me a photo of his TV. Yeah. We're on his large screen TV, and that's scary.
That is pretty horrible.
There's a reason we did this.
You should post it you should go ahead and post that to.
Well, Slack. I'll have to get him to sign off on the copyright.
So
the photo and everything else.
Joe Tippmann is a pretty decent center.
Yeah, Wisconsin kid.
Yes, he'll go probably middle second round.
Is the Cody Mauck kid, is he center capable?
From North Dakota State.
North Dakota State.
I have not heard that, but, you know, who the fuck knows?
I know he's tackle guard, but I can't remember. Whippler was at the dinner that night, yes. Yep, to answer Aaron's question.
But the guards are a lot better than the centers this year.
Yeah. Center is a very weak class this year, at least based on what I have viewed.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings if they took a Torrance, Osiris Torrance at some point either.
Well, that wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. No, Mauck was a left tackle at North Dakota State, but he's too small to play there in the NFL.
Projected at guard.
Guard. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the lineman guys? I feel Broderick Jones is my guy. Love him. If all things being equal, he's the guy I want out of that group. But you know,
for which spot?
At 17.
At 17.
Robert Jones is the guy you want.
Broderick Jones.
Broderick.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Broderick Jones, I would love. That's like
yes,
a fantasy coming true.
It is because I don't think he's going to be there.
But. It could happen, maybe. What I'm really going to love, gleefully, I'm kind of going to troll people when it happens, is Joey Porter Jr. being available and not getting chosen.
Well, you're kind of stealing a little bit of the thunder for next week, but
whatever. I'm drinking tequila. Everybody kiss my ass.
I wouldn't hate. I'll say this though: if Broderick Jones is gone, I would not hate Darnell Wright. I know it doesn't fit.
No, I wouldn't either.
At 17, though,
I 17 feels a little rich. But
it feels a little rich.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I get it. You'd be afraid he wouldn't be there at 32, and this is one of the things. This is one of the reasons the draft falls the way it does is that teams are like, well, this is the guy we actually kind of want, and this is probably too high for him, but it's too late for us to trade back.
But
we don't think he's going to be there the next time we pick, so fuck it, let's just take him now. I mean, honestly, that's probably what happened last year with Kenny Pickett.
But we talked a lot about maybe the spot we should be talking about is moving from 32 up into the first round. Maybe you go up to 27, 28 and grab Darnell Wright.
I think it's more likely they trade back there, but, you know.
I would love that. But,
we'll see.
And we've talked about before, though, the advantage of getting back into the first round is you get the fifth-year option.
Burner. So, I don't think that Addison even gets drafted in the first round.
Wow.
We're getting to wide receivers now, right?
There is one guy who has a first round grade consistently with all the teams in the NFL, as I understand it.
It's JSN.
And he played at Ohio State. Sorry, Aaron. He's kind of a dick for playing at OSU, but but he's a really good receiver.
Yes.
And he's the one guy that teams consistently have a first round grade on. Everyone else, it's a mixed bag, and I know it only takes one team, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But most teams do not have first-round grades on the balance of this class.
First time, Ian?
I have a drinking problem.
I'm going to tell you guys a quick story because it's funny. We used to go to this bar called Sewickley's in Portland, and we'd pre-funk because they made really strong drinks, and they were cheap. And these bartenders behind the bar sounded like, you know, Marge Simpson's sisters.
Yes.
They'd make you'd walk in and ask for like, you know, bourbon and Coke, and they'd pour the glass full of bourbon and give you a little splash of Coke in the top. You take a sip and you go, you know, you'd make a face and they go, "What's the matter, sweetie? Too strong for you?" I'm good. It's fine.
It's fine. It's good. The more I read up on this stuff, it sounds to me like most of the coaches around the league, the scouts, the GMs, are not nearly as high on these receivers as the fans are.
This is not a great class at wide receiver.
One last thought, though, on the offensive line class, with some apologies to Aaron, who's not going to like hearing this, but I did hear that the Steelers coaches were not thrilled that DeJuan Jones didn't work out at all at his pro day.
I heard the same thing.
Yep. So, you know, I don't know if that changes their opinion of him a whole lot, but I kind of heard that they were not happy that he didn't do anything there.
Yeah, they were less than impressed. We came all this way to see you work out. This is basically a job interview.
Yeah,
and you're standing around.
That is exactly right.
You're standing around.
People don't realize that's what this is.
You let us take measurements, and then you stood there and watched while everybody else worked. They were not impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that weighs heavily. No pun intended. Okay, so the receivers, I'm with what Ben said. I think Jackson Smith and Nigba is the top of the line.
I cannot say his name. Which
I can't either.
I'm just going to go with JSN.
JSN, love it.
Great
route runner, good quickness, good speed. I like everything that he offers. He can play anywhere.
It's Tyreek Hill again.
Yeah. I mean,
if JSN is there at 17,
yes,
would you consider him?
I would.
I would. I would. I would consider.
Wow. Yeah, I would.
I guess I would depend who else is there.
You'd have to consider it. You really would. I mean, honestly.
But if those top corners and tackles are gone, I'm doing it.
If they, God.
I'm just saying, like, because we've said, oh, like, take a receiver, but if JSN is there,
I mean, I hope that isn't like something, a choice that they're, I don't know, because I do hope they do it. Buck. Wow. That'd be a really hard choice, man. You know, you're sitting there and you're Mike Tomlin is a former wide receiver. He's going to be like, oh.
I guess you can sit there and you can play that game all night long with, okay, JSN's there, and so is this guy. Who do you take? You know, you can just keep doing that over and over. And
there's going to be a good player there.
Absolutely.
There's going to be not a typical Steelers draft pick kind of a level good.
Yeah.
There's going to be a really good player there at 17. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons I don't think they trade up in this class for this draft. I think they sit tight and wait and let the draft come to them, because they're looking at this class and going, God, I mean, there are about 23, 25 legitimate first round grade guys in this class.
Yeah.
I don't think Darnell Wright's one of them. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I think he's a high second.
Okay.
But those guys get taken in the first round all the time. They do.
Yeah.
I mean, shit. There are going to be some conversations. It's going to be like, okay, here's who's left. Of course, they're going to have a lot of that before the pick, before they're even on the clock. Because it's going to be, they get to about 15, and they're going to be like, okay, here's who's left. You know, and then what, they got two picks in front of them. I mean, shit. It's gonna be interesting, man. And we'll be sitting here second guessing them before
they
even get to their
second guessing, third guessing, fourth guessing. So
looking for somebody who's tipping picks.
So here's what I'll say. Also, because Burner kind of gave me the segue here. I think we've all been on the record of saying we want nothing to do with Addison at 17, but no. Addison at 32.
No. Addison at 49, I'm all about it. I don't want a 173-pound slot receiver whose stats dropped dramatically with arguably a better quarterback when he went to the fucking Pac-12.
Yeah.
Okay?
And he had some injury issues too, didn't he?
Yeah, he had some injury issues, but whatever. The guy's – he's a little guy. He's a slot receiver. He's going to be 170 pounds in the fucking NFL. All right. He's got nice hands. He runs good routes. To me, he's a field receiver. He's not a guy who you want on the boundary. He's not even, I mean, Antonio Brown was a tiny guy, but he was quick and he was strong. So it worked.
So does he fall in the same category as Joey Porter Jr.? If we take that Pitt jersey off of him, we're really not even talking about him that much.
No, he's not as good as Joey Porter Jr.
No, what I mean is because there's a link there, you know, Porter, obviously, because his dad is a Steeler, and Addison, because
I think that Steelers fans would still like Addison. They just wouldn't like him for the first round if he hadn't played.
Yeah. Yeah.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That's a great question by Burner, by the way.
Yeah. Put that question back up there so we can answer. He asks a question for you guys. At what point would the Steelers start looking at other QBs if Pickett doesn't take that next step forward?
After year three?
I guess it depends on how this coming season goes.
I would say if this season's a disaster, then you have to start next year. Yeah.
Right. I don't see that happening, though. Really? This kid's, he's too smart.
No, I don't see a disaster.
Honestly. And I'm not trying to blow sunshine up anybody's skirt. I don't like that. I'm not here to fucking tweet superlatives for likes. I'm not that guy, okay? I think that Kenny Pickett is a smart guy who is physically limited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is the way I've described him since he was a draft prospect.
Right.
a smart guy who's quick, can run around a little bit, but he's physically limited in terms of his arm talent.
Mm-hmm.
He just is. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. No organ.
What he could do to overcome that is learn to throw the ball with more anticipation, like a Joe Burrow. Okay. Joe Burrow's game ain't arm strength. It isn't even his ability to run around in the back in the pocket. He's not that guy. His strength is that he's smart. He makes good decisions and he throws the ball before his receiver comes open.
True.
That's it. If Pickett can learn to do that, he can be a very good quarterback. Well, okay, not very good. He can be a good quarterback.
He can be a better Chad Pennington, is what you're saying.
No, he could be a Joe Burrow if he gets really good at it. Because he is no less physically talented than Burrow. The thing he needs to get is he needs to develop his game between his ears. He needs to get that's it. I'm telling you guys. I mean, because physically, I think he's pretty close to as good as he's going to get.
Mm-hmm. But to that question, I mean, what does next year look like for you to say, damn, I don't know if it's going to get any better. Or you know, maybe it's time to look. I mean, what would have to happen?
I don't see, you know, we talked about this before he was drafted. I don't see him having a floor that is low enough that they are going to have to consider making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I also don't see him being better than, I know. I don't see him being better. He also threw 7 fucking touchdowns all year versus 9 picks, guys. Okay. All right. Stop reading shit on Twitter, please. Jesus. The offense for the most part averaged 1 touchdown per game.
Yeah, that needs to improve. I would say
they got to average at least 25 points a game minimum.
Big leap, baby.
It's huge, man. It's a fucking big 7. Leap. It's a touchdown a game. They need to average more on top of what they did last year. But setting this, going back to where I was going before, what I do not see Pickett as any better than like a top 15 quarterback throughout his career.
Right.
Okay. Which is fine. You can do that. You can win with that guy.
Yes, you can.
But, and I will say this again, as I've said on this show before, if you are a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL, you are an elite athlete because there aren't even 32 of those guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If he can become one of those guys, he's a very, very good athlete. Fucking great. All right. He may not be elite in terms of the NFL, like a top 5 guy. Now, I don't think he's ever going to be, but if he makes the most of what he has by being smart, you can win with him.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that encourages me is that in pressure situations last year, he was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't fold. He was good. And if we can see more of that, I'll be pretty goddamn enthusiastic about it. I'll love it.
Yeah.
To answer your question, Mark, because you asked it, you know, where do you go to the point where you're like, okay, that's it. You know, we need to look at other quarterbacks. Again, I'm going to say after year 3, but I don't see it happening.
I don't either. I just think it's a curious question.
I think after year 4, the Steelers are going to have to decide, you know, if he's worth fucking whatever the hell the market's going to be then, $40 million a year for quarterbacks. Right. I mean, it's just outrageous. And honestly, if his agent doesn't ask for whatever the pay scale is, he should be sued for fucking professional malpractice. Seriously, because that is the price the market will pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Steelers fans have been going, whatever, he's not worth $40 million. Yeah, well, you know what? That's how much the market will give a quarterback who is a legitimate starter in the NFL. So guess what? That's what he's getting paid.
The one thing I will say, can we loop back to wide receivers for a minute? I know you got Casey Kasem queued up here too. I think the strength of this wide receiver class is in like the third and fourth round. There's not the top end talent that the last year's class had, but like there's a bunch of guys who are probably going to go around the third round, like Marvin Mims from Oklahoma, Jaden Reed from Michigan State, Jonathan Mingo from Ole Miss, Xavier Hutchinson from Iowa State, that are some pretty darn good players. And I think that's really where the talent of this class is in that like third to fourth round.
So Ian, if we take those guys that you just mentioned, Reed has been into Pittsburgh for a visit.
Yep.
I think Mingo was,
I believe so. Yes. Yes. Mingo was in for a visit. Yeah.
Iowa State's pro day.
Yeah. And by day, you mean Tomlin was, which was a shock.
Yeah. So I think if I was a betting person and they take a wide receiver, I think it's going to be one of those three or four guys that you mentioned. I really do. But that's just me. They seem to fit what the Steelers would like at that particular point in the draft. And man, I hear great things about Mingo at Ole Miss. And I've seen a lot of Jaden Reed. He's just a really competitive receiver, blocks well, you know, not a burner or anything like that, but catches the ball.
And I think both Mingo and Reed were at the Senior Bowl too, where, as we know, they pretty much met with everybody.
Right,
so
if
a player played in the Senior Bowl, they met Mike Tomlin. So yeah.
Did you see Tomlin walking around in practice and drills? Like he like walked around.
He loved that shit.
He walked through the drills. He didn't like stand on the sidelines and wait. He like walked over through the drills. And he's like, well, I'm Mike Tomlin. They're not really going to tell me to leave. So.
Well, you know, he's
– fuck it. I'm just going to watch
said
right
many
here.
Times, he loves the grind, and he loves that stuff. He just does. You know, he just – oh, it's hilarious.
I think it's awesome.
I do too.
I mean, he's gotten to the point where, like I said, he's just like, hey, well, you know, I'm Mike Tomlin. I can get away with this.
We're gonna wrap things up here, but we'll get to Casey Kasem in just a second. Next week we'll talk almost exclusively defense, and there's gonna be obviously a lot of talk there. Edge, D line, linebackers, cornerbacks, of course, all that stuff. But now I've never done this before. I'm just throwing that out there. I've got the audio file ready
never
to go.
Done this before.
Again,
we get to watch Mark play with technology live,
right?
On TV.
Which is always fun. Scarps welcomed in his first child this past weekend, and so that's why he's not here tonight. But he was kind enough to give us this, and I'm going to cue it up right now. This is Casey Kasem for this week.
Casey's coast to coast, American top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was April 13, 1987. Ryan for Pittsburgh, right? Dear Casey. Last Saturday morning, we welcomed a baby boy into this world. We named him Jonas. Casey, I kid you not, when they asked me what his name was in the delivery room, and I called out with Jonas, the anesthesiologist looked at me and said, "Wow, that's a great song by Weezer. My name is Jonas." We both laughed. If it was a regular old drug dealer that said it to me, I would have been a little skeptical. But since he's a licensed medical professional, I'll allow it. Casey, these first 5 days have been a whirlwind, to say the least. However, we're all doing great. Jonas has taken more dumps than the Staten Island. My favorites are when he has a fresh, clean diaper, and he looks right into your eyes and proceeds to drop a nuclear bomb in his newborn pampers. Casey, you wouldn't believe it, but he's already said his first words. I'm sure Steelers Nation would be proud to know that his first words were, "Matt Canada sucks." Casey, I'm only kidding. Jonas has not yet spoken. However, I'm not kidding about Matt Canada sucking. I said I was going to go easier on him this offseason, but as we inch closer to the draft and then OTAs, I still can't believe he's employed. They must know something we don't. Or, perhaps, he gave the head coach's son a scholarship. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention today is the 6-year anniversary of DMR's passing. I'm so grateful to have been able to work with him all those years and to share countless car rides with him. I plan to share more of those with our audience as we continue to chat weekly. Anyways, back to this week's song. As I mentioned, we had a baby boy. Casey, I'm not going to tell you how babies originate, but I will give you a hint. You must go back to where it all started. Talk dirty to me. Ah, Ryan, I see what you did there, and Brett Michaels is a huge Steelers fan, too. Maybe Matt Canada would be a lot cooler if he put a play into the mix called Unskinny Bop. But we all know it'd end up being a jet sweep to Gunnar Olszewski. Up 8 spots this week to number 28. Here's Poison with Talk Dirty to Me. KC Coast to Coast, American Top 40.
You're looping it through again, buddy.
Wow. Yeah, I stopped it. Ryan, that was terrific.
Bringing it. That was amazing.
That was very impressive. For
you can set up a call the next time and just like have him recorded on video.
We'll have to try it. Yeah.
Just saying.
While he's
changing poopy diapers.
Yeah,
hey, I've been there.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm telling you.
Look, better like have you. Have him call in sober at 11 and dude Casey.
Oh God.
Hey, Ryan, just dial in at 11 and just do Casey.
Yeah. Yeah. So slip that one past. Anyway, thanks, everybody, as always. Next week, we'll be back with defensive preview for the draft. And then the following week, we will be live during the draft. Please plan on joining us. And that's going to be a fun night. I can tell you right now, you are going to see some reactions and
reactions.
I don't want anybody tipping picks either. Or we're tossing you the hell out of here, but
no fucking promises.
Yeah. Well,
so,
it'll be like SCB overtime all the time on draft.
We're going to have Steel Sun. Will be. We're going to have Steel Sun join us for the draft that night.
Yeah. He joined us last year.
He did. Remember? Your son came on, Mark, and was pissed off and was like, you take a quarterback in the first round, you take Malik Willis.
Well, that didn't turn out very well.
Yeah.
Actually, to steal some credit.
We reminded him that now that Kenny was a Steeler, we had to all root for his success.
Right.
And try and support him.
That's right.
He's a Steeler now.
Yep. Well, I'll
to Steel Sun's credit, Ben, you asked him who would you have taken, and he said Trent McDuffie, and McDuffie turned out to be an absolute baller. So McDuffie's played really well.
God, I how do you remember these things, Ian? I can't.
I do remember that. I forgot about that. Yeah,
I remember anyway. So much random shit, Mark. That
I thought I did. You're just like light years ahead of me. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Have a great night. This has been the SCB Steelers Podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And, hey, go Steelers.
Ravens suck. Yeah, McDuffie has been a good corner.